Morning and welcome.
Thank you for
being here today, and thank you so much for the opportunity to open the Word of God with you and just to continue worshiping with you, really, through the ministry of the Word, and I appreciate that so much. And you folks received me warmly the last time I was here, and still have some very pleasant memories of that time and the fellowship that went along with it, and looking forward to some more of that today. So this will be a delightful time for me and hopefully for you as well. And I invite you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, and I'll be working through this session, working through Joshua in this session and then in the following one. And here what we want to do is look at a couple of themes that we find in Joshua chapter 1 and just meditate on them a little bit. But in this particular session together, we'll take a look at one of the four, and then we'll look at the second one in the second hour that we have together this morning. But listen as I read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto all the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever soever thou goest. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our time today, the freedom that we have to open the Word, the very sweet opportunity of fellowship that we had, just meditating on the victorious, all-satisfying, all-encompassing work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for the redemption that is ours, prepared by you and executed by the triune God. We thank you, Father, for this time. And as we look into the Scriptures, I pray you would encourage us with this. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, history has given us both heroes and villains in leadership roles, hasn't it? And when we look into the Scriptures, for example, we are inspired by the leadership of Moses and Joshua and David and Josiah and Deborah, even. There are many godly women who stepped into leadership roles throughout the different periods of Israelite history. However, on the other hand, we are outraged with the antics of men like kings like King Ahab and Omri and Manasseh. And even in our own American history, we celebrate the courageous leadership of men like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But we are not so proud as Americans of men like Nixon or Clinton. So history has given us both heroes and villains in their leadership roles. However, the Scriptures speak clearly to leadership and leadership roles, don't they? The Scriptures are just very clear about leadership and leadership roles. For example, in Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 19, these passages of Scripture instruct Israel about the leadership roles of the prophet and the priest and the king, and there we find how they are to function, and we find their roles outlined and detailed in that particular portion of God's Word. Then we move into the New Testament, and we see the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, instructing and guiding the church with regard to the selection of pastors and deacons. And then, of course, both testaments teach us how to be a mom, how to be a dad, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a family member. You know, so you see how the Scriptures give precision and precise attention to various leadership roles. And obviously, we can take that role and we can serve the Lord in a way that honors and glorifies Him, or we can be a scoundrel with that role, can't we? And we can be disruptive with that role. We can use it in a very sinful way. Both testaments also instruct us how to be an honorable follower of godly leaders. So when you think about leadership, it really does, and it really is, a critical theme that we find in both testaments, and it does address both the leading and the following, both the selecting and the function of the role. So leadership is hard work, and not everyone aspires to be a leader. Over the last year, I've been able to build out a leadership team of men and women that are working alongside me in the execution of the college's duties and responsibilities. And it's been fun for me to have that experience and to work with this team of about 11 or 12 individuals. And every once in a while, when we have to deal with something difficult or a little bit weighty or a little bit messy, I like to say to them, well, welcome to the table. Welcome to the role. Welcome to the table where the decisions are made and the issues are presented and laid out, and now we have to prayerfully consider them. We just came off over the last 2 days just a wonderful 2 days of meetings with our seminary, I'm going back to a former life, but our college board, where we met together, and it was just a really sweet time. When a leadership team works together and is united around the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel and the work of ministry, it is a sweet time. It is a sweet expression of God's heartbeat, and you see the work being done rather easily. So leadership is hard. So how do we lead, and how do we influence in a godly way? How do we know and enjoy the favor of the Lord in the hard work of leadership? You know, I often cry out unto the Lord, Lord, I just need your wisdom. I just want you to favor me in this work, and I just want you to favor us as a college in what we are doing. And how do we follow, or how do you follow good leaders? Well, I want to pursue those questions and those ideas and unpack this theme of leadership by, again, taking you back to Joshua chapter 1 and looking at this transition in leadership from Moses to Joshua, and see what we can learn from this and see how the text unpacks it for us. So when you look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, really these 9 verses are very strategic for us in understanding the entire book of Joshua. They're like the introduction. These 9 verses just introduce us to this great portion of God's Word, and I think also guide us in knowing how to think about this great portion of God's Word, and then do identify for us some of the themes that God will unpack as the chapters are unfolded for us. So when we look at this, we see how these 9 verses detail for us how the conquest and the occupation of the land and that material should be read, and they do identify for us the key themes that are recurring in this book of Joshua. So I think we definitely need to read Joshua in light of these opening verses. Now, let me say this, that Joshua reads like a military war narrative told from the perspective of God's relationship with His people. I mean, Joshua is about battles. Joshua is about military history. And Joshua is a book about how God was leading and guiding His people through these incredible battles as they moved out of Egypt into the land that He had promised for them that they would occupy. So the big ideas of Joshua 1:1-9 relate to land occupation, to the law of God, to war, and to leadership. So those are the four themes: land, law, war, and leadership. And I want to look at two of these themes. As I said, we'll look at leadership in this session, and I want to look at the theme of war in the second session. So my purpose is to take a look at this leadership theme to understand how God calls and equips leaders to fulfill His will. How does God raise up a leader? How does God use a leader? How does God accomplish ultimately His plan and His purposes through broken people like you and me to do what He has ordained to do before eternity or in eternity past? So the good news is that God is the divine caller who enables servants for leadership. God is the divine caller who enables servants for leadership. So now, you might be saying, now, why should I listen if I don't feel that I'm a leader and really don't want to aspire to a leadership role? You might be saying, all right, I'm going to check out now for the next 20 minutes or so because I don't want to be a leader, I don't aspire to it, and I'm not in a leadership role. Okay, so I'm out. So let me try to invite you back in by giving you a couple of reasons why I think you should listen. And it might be encouraging to all of us. Number one, listen to learn what leadership is and is not. Listen to learn what leadership is and what it is not. According to John Maxwell in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, he says, leadership is often misunderstood. When people hear that someone has an impressive title or assigned leadership position, they assume the individual to be a leader. Sometimes that's true, but titles don't have much value when it comes to leading. True leadership cannot be awarded, appointed, or assigned. It comes only from influence that cannot be mandated. It must be earned. The only thing that a title can buy is a little time, either to increase your level of influence with others or to undermine it. And I think I want you just to walk away with a sense that, as you'll see in the text here, and it is, I think, articulated by Maxwell quite well, leadership really, bottom line, is influence. Leaders are influencers. And so you might not have a title, you might not have an assigned role, but people who are leaders are influencers. And I think for you and for me who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who love His Word, we want to lead by influencing with the love of Christ and obviously the Word of God. So we want to be godly men and godly women who can influence. So why should you listen? Well, leadership is influence. Second, listen to learn how God has determined to get things done in His kingdom through His appointed leaders. I think for nothing else, just listen to see how God gets things done through appointed leaders. I'm amazed that God would use us. Broken sinners we are. I'm amazed, humbled, that God would use us in His great kingdom. And then third, I would invite you to listen how to identify and then follow good leaders. You know, you need, you know, in an assembly like this and across the our land, we are put in positions where we have to choose to follow. And we have to know how to discern good leaders. And there are times that we are called upon to exercise a vote in the choice of leadership. And so we need to learn how to identify and then follow good leaders. Okay, so how does God call and equip leaders? Let's go right back to the text and answer these questions and enjoy this time that we have set aside for the Word of God this morning. Well, what I want you to see, and what I'm amazed about, is I look at Joshua 1:1-9. We'll be primarily looking just at verses 1 and 2 in this conversation. But in Joshua 1:1-9, we see God installing Joshua as the Mosaic successor and enabling him for the leadership of the covenant nation of Israel. Now, what I want you also to be encouraged with is this. When God calls a leader, He equips and outfits that leader for the role that God is calling him to. So when you look at Joshua chapter 1:1, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So here is the Lord speaking to Joshua, singling him out for a leadership task. Could you only imagine what Joshua must have been feeling like at that moment? It's like, all right, Moses is dead. Moses was the man. I mean, Moses stood large and tall. His presence was a very strong shadow overcast within the nation of Israel. And now he's being called on to step into that place of leadership and take the nation of Israel into the land that's been promised to them. Now, notice, so God calls in verse 1. Look at what God does in verse 5. As you see there, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Ah, there's the encouragement. There's the enablement. Called to a task, incredibly large, you know, audacious, you know, impossible. And here God is saying, now look at Moses. I want you to do this. I've ordained that you should do this, but I'm not going to abandon you in the doing of it. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And just like I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What great words. So Joshua was God's choice as Moses' successor, but you might be asking, what happened to Moses? Where did Moses go? What happened to Moses? Now, remember, Numbers 20, verse 12. Moses disqualified himself from leading the conquest in that context of Scripture. It was there at the waters of Meribah, if you might remember, that Moses struck the rock for water instead of speaking to it. Now go to that text of Scripture in Numbers chapter 20, just for a second with me, and look at it in verse 12. An incredible text. I hope it strikes a little bit of awe in your heart, just for a moment. 20, verse 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." And could you imagine the crushing weight of those words in Moses' life at that moment of time? You know, he was the appointed leader. He was the one that was going to lead them into the nation. He was the one that had the successful and significant ministry. And now he's disqualified from being able to do this. The Lord viewed what Moses did as an act of unbelief. You see, that's incredible. All Moses did was he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. How in the world could that be such an outrageous act that would merit this kind of consequence? And again, you see there in the text, I think, the explanation. Moses did not sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the Israelites. And here's where I need to feel the weight of this. And I hope, and I want to share that with you just for a moment. And I hope you will feel it as well. In other words, Moses did not regard the Lord God as trustworthy for the purpose of treating him as the one who is holy. In other words, he did not regard the Lord as trustworthy for the purpose of treating him as holy. You didn't sanctify me in your heart. You didn't think I was trustworthy enough. You did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. And you think about, you know, what is the role of the leader? The role of the leader should be constantly pointing others to Christ, to his holiness. He is the trustworthy object of faith. I'm following him. You follow me as I follow him. His word is the one that is the thing that is guiding us through. And you think about this, friends. This is not just for college presidents or leaders of a local assembly. This is for grandmas and grandpas. You know, think about it. You need to treat God as a person who is worthy of trust in the eyes of your grandchildren. Moms and dads need to treat the Lord as the trustworthy person in the eyes of your children. You see? I mean, if you don't trust the Lord in such a way as to sanctify him and obey his word, what kind of leader are you? You see, what kind of leadership is that? So now, think about, now that's a rather heavy, dark kind of a episode in the life of a leader of Israel, isn't it?
But on the other side of the coin, maybe we could look at someone like Noah, who in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, Noah, unlike Moses, he led and he built the ark with holy fear. You see, in Moses' life, in this episode, there was an absence of holy fear. In Noah's life, in Hebrews 11, there was the celebration of holy fear. So Moses, Noah, holy fear. Noah, he was working through that task of building that ark and leading and proclaiming the word of God with holy fear. So you see, Moses' lack of leadership, faith disqualified him. The Lord then selected Joshua to lead the nation into the promised land, and Moses goes from the upfront leader to the sideline coach. The Lord instructed Moses to encourage Joshua with the leadership responsibility of land occupation. And Deuteronomy 31 is really where we find all of these details unpacked for us. And we won't take time this morning to go to those, but if you just make a mental note of that or write it down, it's Deuteronomy 31 that really documents Moses' exhortation to Joshua as he prepares to enter the land. Now, what I want you to see also is this interesting repetitious reference to death in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. As you see there in Joshua chapter 1, the text reminds us that this narrative begins. Now, after the death of Moses, and then you see in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So twice we're reminded that Moses is dead. So it reminds us of God's leadership expectation. God warned his people that he would punish disobedience. And I believe if you look at 1:18, for example, in this chapter, chapter 1 of Joshua, look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So you see, in other words, that in this episode of history, in this new sort of unfolding of God's will for his people, God is affirming his holiness, and God is affirming the absolute authority of his word, and God is reminding his people Israel, as we go into this land, you got to listen to me. You've got to take my word seriously. You've got to be marked by holy fear. You cannot play fast and loose with me and with my word. And I'd say, friends, we need to feel that, whatever our role in life is. And again, if we go, you are an influencer. You are an influencer. Let me give you an illustration. The baseball team at Clearwater Christian College has typically been known as the thugs of the campus. You know, they're typically the guys that just kind of do their own thing. But last year, we had a new coach hired. So we were able to bring in Coach Bob Rossiter. We had a couple of new guys come on the team. And all of a sudden, from last year to this year, those thugs have turned into servants. And they're serving the student body with tailgate kind of activities before women's soccer games or men's soccer games. And even, lo and behold, before one soccer game, when we had a deluge of rain and the soccer field was just soaked with water and puddles all over, here are some of the baseball players out there helping with leaf blowers and doing whatever they could to get the water off the soccer field. You see? So there's the difference. You know, so you see here good leadership, and these guys, they're baseball players. You know, they don't have any power or authority in the campus, but they are influencing. And by their life, they are influencing positively. And oftentimes when I'm in the process of recruiting students to Clearwater, and if I know I've got a sharp young man or a sharp young woman before me, I'll say, you know, I want you to come to Clearwater Christian College because I know you will be a leader. And I need a student body of leaders who will influence the direction of this campus. You see? And you need leaders here in this assembly. You see, you need leaders who are committed with a holy fear to the Lord God and to His Word, and who will lead this assembly with a commitment to the Word of God and with a resolve to be obedient to Him and with His grace empowering you. So God favored and verified Joshua as the new leader. And we could spend a lot of time here, but let me just focus on briefly illustrating how I think God favored and verified Joshua as the new leader. Well, you see God communicating with Joshua just like He talked to Moses. So God was in the early epic, He was speaking to Moses and communicating His word to him. And Moses was then communicating it to the people, and the people were recognizing, wait a minute, Moses is God's appointed leader. God is speaking with Moses. Moses is speaking to us, and what we're hearing from Moses is the word of God. And therefore, we're going to obey. And so that kind of thing is happening with Joshua. God is verifying Joshua as the successor to Moses. God also promised to be with Joshua and to exalt him just like He did to be with Moses. Then you see the nation in 1:16, 17, and 18 acknowledging, yes, we see it. We see this transition taking place right before our eyes. We see that, yes, Moses disobeyed. He's dead. He's off the scene. And we see, Lord God, that You're raising up Joshua. And the people are saying, we'll obey Joshua. We'll follow him just like we did with Moses. And then, of course, throughout the book, Joshua is featured in a leadership role. He's the military commander. He's also the land distributor. As you get down into those later chapters where the land is conquered, Joshua is the one who is distributing the land. Also, we see the captain of the host in Joshua chapter 5 appearing to Moses, to Joshua. And it's a very similar event to what happened between Moses and the Lord God in Exodus chapter 3. So you see all these affirming and assuring kind of things. So God is speaking to Joshua just like God spoke to Moses. God is with Joshua just like He was with Moses. God is making an appearance to Joshua through the captain of the Lord of hosts there in Joshua 5, just like God appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. So you see that affirmation. You see all of that kind of thing. So now what do we do with what we just read? How do we apply this? How can we apply this text to our lives? Well, what I'd like you to see is, number one, God uses leaders to accomplish His will. And this pattern of calling is modeled profoundly in the life of Jesus. You see, when you move into the prophet Isaiah, God calls the suffering servant to do the will of God, to provide the redemption that we so wonderfully meditated on in the previous moments of this hour. And biblical history illustrates the good news of how God gets things done. He calls and He outfits His servants with His presence. He chose Moses. He chose Joshua. He chose David. He chose Solomon to lead the nation. He chose His apostles to establish the church and record the scriptures. He selected Paul for a critical work among the Gentiles. The eternal deliberations of the triune God resulted in Jesus being the servant who could pay the debt of your sin and my sin. He established the leadership roles for the local assembly. He uses me. He uses you in your roles as husband, as wife, as parent, as child. He places us as light and salt, as gospel beacons in schools and at work and within our own social gatherings. So you're a leader. You're a leader, whether you have an assigned role or not. You know, sometimes in some local congregations, there is disappointment because, oh, I wasn't chosen to be a deacon, or I wasn't appointed to an official role. You don't need a role to lead. I mean, you don't need, or maybe I should say this, but you don't need a particular task or job to lead. You can influence and you can lead without. In fact, I've been recruiting men and women to come onto our board at the college. And oftentimes, and I can see it in their eyes, they'll say to me, you know, I can help you more without the appointed role, because I can influence people to give, or I can influence people to send their children to the school. You see, influence is leadership, and we want to use our influence in the most sanctified, Christ-honoring way. And then God delights in leaders who have a heart for Him
And biblical history illustrates the good news that we need a righteous leader. We need a righteous leader. Look at our country. Look at, just look at the political scene. I mean, the church scene. The church needs good leaders. America needs good leaders. Our global economy needs good leaders. And we're looking for a good leader. But we also see that God wants His leaders to be distinguished with godly character. And despite this, all of the leaders in biblical history were either flawed or fell short of getting the job done. However, the righteous, holy Jesus was not flawed and got it done and did it well. And we just celebrated that before this opening of the scriptures. You think about every leader that exists. You take the Davids, take the Joshuas, take all of them. In some way or another, you see them flawed. You see them really falling short. Even Joshua, as good as he was, when we get to the end of Joshua, the land is still not completely occupied. And then from that point on, the land becomes increasingly less occupied because the nation is walking in disobedience to the Lord God. But I rejoice. I am just so satisfied that Jesus, the suffering servant, righteous one, proclaimed to us in the book of Isaiah, anticipated there, who came in flesh and blood, he robed himself in flesh and blood, he got it done. And there was not a flaw in him. There was not a flaw in this Jesus. So we need to then realize that there is hope for leaders in every assignment of life. And although biblical history warns us, it offers us hope. And we need to just keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to stay in the middle of the road, obeying His word. And we need to be encouraging others with God's grace to follow the word of God, to follow the great and glorious leader, the Lord Jesus. And I think Joshua chapter 1 does encourage us in this task of leadership. And we see it, I think, here played out so nicely for us in this opening chapter of Joshua chapter 1. So we need to stop. So I will stop there. All right. Thank you so much.